94.1 FM on the air, KSLG.com on the web. This is K-Slug, Humboldt's New Rock.
It's 902. This is 94.1 KSLG FM, Hydesville, Eureka, Arcata, and as you just heard, through KSLG.com. David Fincher's new film, Zodiac, is renewing interest in a number of Bay Area murders that occurred back in the late 60s. And the Zodiac Killer, of course, terrorized the San Francisco area with his murders occurring in the evening at parking lots or their quiet areas. He taunted police and local media with letters and cryptograms boasting of his crimes. The Zodiac has claimed responsibility for 37 murders, though the actual confirmed number of victims is 5. And NPR recently ran a story on this, and they pointed out here that a community of amateur sleuths remains fascinated with the case, poring over details and visiting crime scenes. One follower of the murders, Tom Voigt, says his website has led to contacts with people involved in the case. Now, even police acknowledge that Voigt's site, which has 5,000 pages and about 10,000 individual images, is the main clearinghouse for Zodiac material. And you can find it through ZodiacKiller.com. And Tom Voigt, he firmly believes a recently found 1990 Christmas card postmarked from Eureka is in fact authentic, and he's on the phone now from up in Portland, Oregon. And so, Tom, could you tell me exactly when this letter was found and what the card, that is, the Christmas card, and what was sort of in the Christmas card?
The San Francisco Chronicle was preparing a Zodiac story to coincide with the release of the movie you mentioned, and they were they signed the reporters to search through their library of materials to come up with some artwork for their story. And the reporter that they assigned to do that had previously written a story about the Zodiac Killer, so he was familiar with the Zodiac's letters and so forth. And when he was searching through their library, he found this envelope, but not a Xerox copy, but an actual envelope, and the handwriting looked familiar to him. And so he explored a little bit further and determined that it might be a real Zodiac letter that had just been set aside and forgotten about. And so he contacted me and described the letter to me, and I thought immediately that it sounded like it could be authentic. And so he scanned it, the card, the envelope, and so forth, and emailed it to me, and I just about fell over because the handwriting, among other things, was just so... the subtleties in the handwriting were something that I felt in my heart could not be faked, and therefore it was an authentic communication.
Isn't it a bit surprising that it's just gone unnoticed for all these years? Again, it's dated back 1990.
That is a high turnover in the newspaper industry, and I think that, in 1990, whoever received that card, probably, you know, whoever received it at the Chronicle probably sort of vaguely recognized it as being something Zodiac-related, but they probably assumed, like a lot of people, that, you know, he must be dead, so it must be a hoax. And so they set it aside. Maybe they planned on giving it to the police, but, you know, who knows? They could have got transferred to a different department. Maybe they got fired. You know, it's hard to say, but at least, you know, the card does exist, and it was not, well, I'm happy it wasn't thrown away. I'm also happy it wasn't given to the police, because the San Francisco Police Department really has done everything they can to avoid doing anything they can regarding the Zodiac case. So had it been turned over to the police, we most certainly wouldn't know about it.
So why are you saying that the San Francisco Police have not pursued it aggressively, or is that what you're saying?
Oh, that's exactly what I'm saying. They haven't pursued it aggressively or in any other way, shape, or form. They're actually outsourcing evidence that they've obtained. You know, the letters that were originally sent to the Chronicle by the Zodiac, the confirmed letters, they're actually sending to other police departments, because that's how determined they are to not do anything regarding the case. They're actually sending that evidence to other police agencies. And I don't really know why. I think the resources are spent. They have a lot of current cases that they have to prioritize, and that much I actually understand. But what I don't understand is why they can't at least pretend to have an interest in this case, you know, by maybe putting an email address on their official website and saying, you know, if you have any tips, you know, send them to this address. They don't even go that far. And, you know, I have a website, and I know it only takes about 10 seconds to add an email address. And the Zodiac case isn't worth 10 seconds of their time, and that's what bothers me. They have a like a cold case squad that will look at old cases, but only if it's a police officer who got killed. If it's a cab driver like Paul Stein, with the Zodiac shot in the head, then they couldn't care less. And their lieutenant, Hennessy, even went so far as to tell the examiner that he, quote, hates the Zodiac case, unquote. And those are just wrong things to say to a reporter.
Well, have you contacted the police department in San Francisco to mention this to them?
Oh, I don't need to, because other people have, and they've, you know, it's, I, I've been put on hold long enough by them. I mean, and I've said it before, if the Zodiac, you know, actually called the San Francisco Police Department to confess, they'd put him on hold for so long that he would die of natural causes.
Of course.
And, you know, and I've been there and done that. And, you know, they couldn't make it more difficult to give them information. You know, they, like I said, they don't even have a like an email address for Zodiac tips. And if you did try to call them and talk to them, they'll either say that the case has been deactivated, or in this, you know, you can call back and they'll say, you know, the very same day they'll say, well, we can't talk about it because it's an active investigation. So it's called the runaround, and I've had enough of that.
So it is a Christmas card, and what is contained in the Christmas card?
It was postmarked 1990 from Eureka. It's December for sure, and it looked like the first. And it was a red envelope with handwriting on it. No return address, unfortunately, and no name. But it did have enough handwriting on the envelope for me to determine that it was authentic, and for a lot of other people, too, as well. Inside the red envelope was a Happy Holidays card with a snowman and a bunny on it. And it was the same type of card that the Zodiac sent a newspaper reporter back in 1970. In the movie, the newspaper reporter is played by Robert Downey Jr., and his real name is Paul Avery, and the Zodiac sent him a My Secret Pal Halloween card in October 1970, and this Eureka card from 1990 is a My Secret Pal Happy Holidays card, and I don't know if it's from the 70s. I haven't gotten that far, but it is the same style of card, and there was no writing inside the card, but there was a Xerox copy of some United States Postal Service keys, two separate keys with numbers on them. And so what's been happening, the amateur community, the amateur sleuths have been trying to determine exactly what numbers those keys are, using, you know, software and so forth to enhance the image, the Xerox copy, to determine the actual numbers. And I went so far as to went to Eureka not too long ago, and went to the postal office and, you know, and actually got some very interesting data about those keys, which is something that nobody had done. The Chronicle newspaper had called the post office and said, you know, can you find out who had this post office box in 1990? And the post office said, no, we can't, which is true, because they don't keep records that far back. But the Chronicle apparently didn't ask any other questions. And I did, and I'm glad I did, because I got some very interesting information. And, you know, I would love to share it with you, but it's one of those sensitive things that I'm working under the assumption that the card was from the Zodiac, and I'm working under the assumption that those keys are meaningful. And so at this point, you know, it would be stupid to just tell everybody, oh, here's what the keys are, and here's who has that box, and so forth, because it may be something and it may be nothing. But I'm working under the assumption that it's something, and I want to get some information that's strong enough that the police can't ignore it, and then go from there.
Can you give me sort of a sense of the nature of the information?
Well, I was able to come up with the name of a person that was connected to that box. And it's a very interesting person from what I've been able to learn. It's a person who would, you know, definitely not be too young or too old to be somehow involved. It's a person with a very interesting background that is unlike, or not unlike, what I would assume you know, a person involved in this case might be, or might have certain characteristics. And it's a person that's still alive and in Eureka. So you know, that narrows it down to about 100,000 people, I guess. I'm going to be coming back to Eureka, not just for the Samoa Cookhouse, but I'm actually going to do some more research into this in the next couple weeks. And hopefully I'll have even more data to work with. But I would like to ask if anyone has any information on possible cold cases, not just from Eureka, but, you know, Humboldt County, Del Norte County, even Mendocino, anything suspicious, anything that they, doesn't have to be a murder, it could be just unusual activity, I'd really like to know, because those post office keys were the point of the communication. There was nothing written in the card. The message that was being sent has to do with those keys, and so I don't know if they're a key, if they're a clue to the author's identity, or if they're a clue to some unsolved crime, but I've been researching on my own, and there have been some interesting unsolved murders in your area. But you know, I'm kind of a neophyte to the whole North Coast, and I'm more familiar with San Francisco and what's happened there. But I just recently started looking into the Eureka area recently. So if anyone has any information, they can contact me at ZodiacKiller.com. And you know, there may be somebody out there might actually have the missing link and the final piece of the puzzle, and they just don't know it yet.
So this person that is associated with this box that you've seen these the images of the keys for, I mean, is this a name that I might know? Or
well,
is this,
it, was just, okay. It was a familiar name to the person who looked up the history of, the, of that box, and you know, and then I and I explored it a little bit further and did some research on my own. And again, I don't know that they owned the box at the right time, at the time that, you know, that card was sent. But I just want to find out if in fact this is a red herring or not. If it's a red herring, then I want to know and get on with other things. But, you know, again, I have to work under the assumption that the card was from the Zodiac, because in my heart I believe it was, and the message to the card was, you know, was very on point. The keys, the scan of those keys was the message, and Zodiac was known for giving clues about his own identity as well as clues about other crimes he committed. And so, you know, maybe Zodiac in 1990 got diagnosed with cancer or something, and he figured, well, I'm going to die anyway. I want people to know who I am, but I want them to figure it out. And then he sent this card, and maybe the cancer went away, and he went, nope. Uh-oh. And luckily, you know, luckily the card sat on a shelf or in a shelf for a long time. And now it's out there, and it's going to be interesting to see if Zodiac is still alive. He probably knows that this card was found by now, and maybe it'll motivate him to write another one or something, or maybe it'll motivate him to go into hiding and start, you know, throwing away souvenirs he's kept over the years. So, you know, it's just, if you know if somebody suspicious is in their 60s or older, and you see him start, you know, dumping a whole bunch of property and packing their bags, that might be worth keeping an eye on.
And so you are saying you're coming back here to Eureka, and what is the plan once you arrive, and when are you coming back?
Well, I'm going to hopefully come back to Eureka within a couple weeks, and the plan right now is to just go to the police department and go to the newspaper and try to find people. Hopefully I can do this in advance, but I want to get some information before I come back, because the one thing I hate to do is go to the library and start digging through their old newspaper articles, because that could take forever. But I really want to get some information on cold cases that could have something to do with the Zodiac. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a double murder of a young couple in a lover's lane, because that's not necessarily, you know, just any murder. Let me put it that way. Any murder or any suspicious activity, you know, anonymous letters or whatever. I want to find out in advance and be able to really pinpoint something to look into. Otherwise, when I get down there, it's going to be just knocking on doors, going to the newspapers, going to the police, and trying to find out information on cold cases. And again, digging up more information on this person of interest who may or may not have anything to do with any of this. But it's at least a name that can be potentially attached to a possible Zodiac communication. And that's something that it's a first for me. You know, I've always operated under the assumption that Zodiac was somebody like Arthur Lee Allen, who's portrayed in the movie by John Carroll Lynch, somebody like that, or somebody who's possibly in jail like Ted Kaczynski, and there's nowhere to go with it. But this is exciting, because it could be somebody who's still alive, who's in Eureka right now, maybe listening to this show. And so, you know, I can't wait to come back. I just, I have had some obligations, but I wish I was in Eureka right now.
So, but can you really just walk into the police department and say, I'm investigating the Zodiac? Do you think they'll just sort of look at you in a strange way? Or, I mean,
Well, I'm used to, if they do, I'm used to that already, being looked at in a strange way. But I don't give up, and that's the thing. I've had very good luck at walking into the, you know, police station, like you say, and just making friends and having them share information. I mean, that's how I got my website to be so big, and that's why there's so much unique information, there's actual police reports and so forth. It's because, you know, when people meet me in person, they realize that I'm not a kook, or at least they're not a kook, and they feel like that if they share information with me, it's going to be the right thing to do, and I'm not going to be irresponsible with it. So, I mean, I've walked into police departments before, and the next thing you know, I'm in their evidence room, and it doesn't always work for people, but it tends to work for me. I don't know. It's going to take somebody in Eureka that actually knows of some potential, you know, potential cold cases.
Okay.
And I want to work that out in advance if I can.
Well, it seems the person to call initially over at the Eureka Police Department is Susie Owsley. She's the public information officer. Very nice woman.
Right.
I've spoken to her many, many times. And just call her up and then explain who you are and what you do. Possibly send her some email just
right.
to sort of indicate that you are someone who's been doing this for many years and not just some crazy person who's wandering in from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, her name is Susie Owsley, the public information officer.
Yeah, I'll definitely look her up on their site. If they, hopefully they have. have one.
Well, yes, they do have a website. It's not terribly impressive, I'll be quite honest about that. But again, if you just call and say, hi, I'm calling for Susie Owsley, then you'll get in touch with her.
Okay, I appreciate that.
That's just what I would do. But there are those who are not as convinced as you that this card is authentic. And the Chronicle, they ran a story. They point to Lloyd Cunningham, and
yeah.
He is someone who was a police officer, and he is now someone who is a document expert, according to the Chronicle. And he began investigating the Zodiac while over at the San Francisco Police Department and has continued this as a private consultant. And the Chronicle, they are saying here that... His quote here is, I could never conclude that this is the writing of the Zodiac. It tends to lean the other way. I have the impression that someone tried to imitate the Zodiac's handwriting, and he points to the idea that some of the letters on the envelope are overwritten. So he's someone who's done this for a living, so he says this is not real.
Well, you know, it's funny because this movie that recently came out has all sorts of people trying to... maximize their limited role in the Zodiac case. Lloyd Cunningham is just one of them. He's not the first. He's just the last that I know of. You know, he studied some Zodiac letters 20 years ago, and he's been retired ever since playing golf. And so when the Chronicle contacted him, they faxed him some copies of this Eureka letter. And according to him, he didn't compare the Eureka letter to known exemplars of the Zodiac's handwriting. He went strictly from his own memory. And that's just not acceptable. And the other thing is, you know, he did say that there are lots of similarities between Zodiac's known handwriting and the Eureka card. But he claimed that he was discounting the Eureka card because portions of the writing on the Eureka card had been gone over twice. And he claimed the Zodiac never did that. And that's not true. The Zodiac did that on several occasions. And so, you know, to rule out the letter because of that, you know, misnomer is just unacceptable. It'd be like somebody, you know, somebody who once looked at the Zodiac's fingerprint, you know, 25 years ago, comparing it to a suspect's fingerprint and just going by memory. I mean, that's really irresponsible. But, and you know, it's showing off. It's like, oh, I'm such an expert on Zodiac's, you know, handwriting. I don't even need to use the basic, you know, common sense of comparing them side by side because I'm so smart and I'm such a Zodiac expert. You know, I just think it's irresponsible. And the fact that he would use the overwriting, going over a word twice as somehow, you know, evidence that it's not the Zodiac because Zodiac never did that. You know, again, that's just wrong. It's not true. Zodiac did that. And in fact, Zodiac did that in the Secret Pal Halloween card he sent to Paul Avery. He went over certain words twice. You know, keep in mind, the envelope was red. And when you're writing on a dark surface, sometimes I've done that myself. I mean, you write it once and portions aren't dark enough to be read. And so you have to go over certain parts of it a second time. That's not unusual. That's certainly not an indicator that it's been faked. In fact, if someone was trying to fake this, they probably would have used a felt-tip pen because that's what Zodiac always used, was a felt-tip pen. And, you know, but what's amazing about this card and what one of the reasons I feel it's authentic is because of everything that's missing. The person didn't claim they're the Zodiac. They didn't use his cross-circle symbol. They didn't use a felt-tip pen. They didn't use, you know, double postage, which were all things back in 1990 that people thought the Zodiac always did. And this card is missing all of that. And that's why another reason I think it's authentic is because whoever did this took so much time. First of all, I don't think it could be faked, but even if it could, the person who did it put a lot of thought into it. And why would you waste all that time to put together such a beautiful, you know, forgery if you're not going to maximize the chances of people actually falling for it? You know, the person who did this was motivated by wanting to fool people. But they left out everything that people in 1990 always associated with the Zodiac.
Now, Tom, quickly, just to be fair, the Chronicle, they refer to him as a forensic document examiner, and a lot of the articles I've read about you refer to you as an amateur sleuth, or you have another job, this is more of a hobby. I mean, what are your credentials to really challenge Mr. Cunningham outside of just sort of a desire?
Common sense and logic. Again, if you talk to a document examiner and say, you know, is it appropriate to come to a conclusion about handwriting when you haven't compared it to an exemplar, you're just going by memory from 20 years ago? They'll tell you, no, that's not acceptable. And logic and common sense should tell you that, too. You know, again, he by his own admission, he was going by memory, and that's just not acceptable. I can tell you that I've worked with many, many, many retired detectives who worked on the Zodiac case a lot longer than Cunningham. And they firmly believe that because they're going, you know, they're in their 60s or whatever, and they're working from memory, they'll get information wrong. They'll get the facts wrong. But they firmly believe they're right because they're going by memory. And I'll point out the police report, and I'll say, well, look, this is what you typed back then. This is what the police report says. And they'll actually be really surprised and embarrassed because, you know, over time, your memory's going to fade. And this is something that Cunningham's not actively investigating this. This is something he did a long time ago. And he was contacted out of the blue, and he didn't compare the Eureka letter with a known Zodiac exemplar. And he was working only by memory, and that is just not the way you not the way you want to do things. Also, the politics of documents examination, there is nobody who has any credentials whatsoever who is going to stick their neck out and say, this was written by the Zodiac. Because if they did, there are going to be, you know, 100 other documents examiners waiting to knock them off and contradict them. And a good example is John Mark Carr, who recently, you know, his claim to fame was he claimed that he, you know, killed Jean-Baptiste Ramsey. There was a very famous documents examiner who studied Mark Carr's handwriting, compared it to the ransom note found in the Ramsey house, and concluded that John Mark Carr wrote the ransom note. Well, obviously he didn't. And so documents examination, even when you're doing it right, and even when you're comparing, you know, an exemplar to the suspicious handwriting side by side, which is how you're supposed to do it, even then, it's not an exact science.
So what do you do outside of running ZodiacKiller.com?
Lately, that's all I have time to do because, of you know, so far this month, I've had more than 16 million hits, thanks, you know, to David Fincher's excellent movie called Zodiac, and I've been just so busy keeping up on the email and chronicling everything. I get tips every day on possible suspects that I'm archiving, and if something looks good, I'll forward it to the police if they have an email address. And other than that, it's just a lot of website maintenance, and I do. Luckily, my hits have been so large this month that I have been getting. I've been able to, you know, get some advertising revenue and help pay the bills that way. But usually what I do is build websites and do website consulting. It's all computer-related stuff, but that's really the way I make my money. And thankfully it doesn't take me away from my computer, because that's one thing I just can't seem to do these days is leave my computer for more than a few hours.
So how did this begin? Why did you start looking into the Zodiac?
I was born in Southern California. My earliest memories are of the Mansons and the Zodiac. My dad was a newspaper man, and when I was like, I don't know, 3 years old or so, the Mansons were running rampant, and I can remember vividly my mother being scared and going to bed with a knife under her pillow, and I think that made an impression on me. And as I got older, I just developed a strong interest in mysteries. And even, you know, when we moved to Oregon because of the whole Manson thing, I just got obsessed with Bigfoot, you know, and Sasquatch, and trying to find Bigfoot. And, you know, I'm a mystery buff. I'm not a murder buff, and I want to make that distinction. And most of my website users, they're mystery buffs as well. I get very little traffic from people who are just there to look crime scene photos and so forth. And I'm thankful for that, because they're not really the type of user that I'm looking to attract. But it started a long time ago. I think it was just a strong impression that was made on me from being in Southern California in the mid to late 60s and seeing what I saw as a kid. And it's stuck with me. And about 10 years ago, I saw a reenactment on TV about the Zodiac case, and I thought, boy, whatever happened to that guy? And I started looking into it, and I got hooked. And now I feel like the case can be solved. You know, the Green River Killer got caught after a long absence. The BTK Strangler got caught. I don't have much hope for Jack the Ripper, but I think the Zodiac might be next.
So just out of curiosity, do you believe in the Sasquatch, Bigfoot?
Yes. I think that there's got to be an explanation for the numerous, you know, sightings of something, and by credible people who weren't drunk or, you know. And also there was a hair sample that was obtained near Mount St. Helens in Washington that was sent to Oxford University, and apparently the DNA that was recovered was a mix between, it was kind of a combination of a human and a chimpanzee. And that, to me, is pretty strong forensic evidence. But the problem is, of course, the footage that was taken in 1967, the video of Sasquatch, you know, that is very powerful to most people, and you either believe it or you don't. But until somebody can top that footage, And people aren't going to be swayed by some possible DNA evidence.
How about UFOs? And this is just mainly, I'm just trying to see what's going on here. How about UFOs visiting the planet and abducting people and stuff like that? Is that something that occurs to you? Or?
Yeah, I mean, there's billions of planets out there, so I suppose it's possible. But, I think if aliens were out there and they were smart enough to be able to fly around and do all that, I think they'd have better things to do than mess with us.
Okay. And now, since you do have this website, again, it's ZodiacKiller.com, have you ever received email or some sort of communication from someone claiming to be the Zodiac Killer?
Yeah, I get some letters in, when was it, 2002, late 2002 or so, from somebody in, I got three letters. One was in Singapore, the other was Atlanta, Georgia, and I forget where the third one was mailed from. And it was a person who was trying to fool me. They sent me... I'm assuming they were trying to fool me. They sent me some fingerprints. They sent me DNA samples, and they sent me this toxic substance.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I did to offend them, but so I don't buy it. You know, I get attempts. I've actually gotten some pretty clever hoaxes, but it's very obvious when something has been forged or copied, and there are certain hallmarks you can look for, and. I haven't been fooled yet that I know of, but I have some experience with this. I'm not a trained, graphologist or anything, but I do have logic and reasoning, and I do know that it's just not acceptable if you're going to judge handwriting and compare it to a known sample, an evidence sample. You have to have them side by side, and you have to take it seriously. You can't just work from a 20-year-old memory.
Now, one of the articles that I found refers to the fact that you are, or admittedly, self-obsessed. I mean, is that how you viewed an obsession? And I mean, isn't it sort of dark to focus on this? I mean, is this something that you contemplate quite a bit? And by the way, the murders were just so grisly. It would be so sort of depressing for me. Now, of course, if I had a job, let's say in the police department, then I could justify it. But then to sort of in the private sector to devote so much time to this, isn't it sort of a morbid fascination? Or I mean, how do you view it?
And, well, I'm not fascinated with the murders. In fact, I try to do everything I can to avoid them. I'm not interested in killing or murders. I don't. It's just not an interest. And there are people who are. There are people who want to see the bloody photos and things like that. And I have that information. I mean, I have a crime scene photos. It's just I only publish the ones that aren't offensive. And I publish them simply for evidentiary value. And I do have. People who are regulars at the website, who are forensic scientists and so forth, who have an interest in the Zodiac case and who can view that information and actually come up with good observations that may help add insight into the crime scene and therefore the criminal. So, but I don't like to focus on that. I don't like to focus on what he did to the victims. I like to focus on figuring out who he was.
Okay.
And so, in that sense, it's not really morbid to me. I don't. What would be morbid would be actually being a homicide detective, because they have to go to autopsies. I mean, I can't even imagine that. And the other thing is, when you're a homicide cop, you can't pick and choose which cases that you investigate. And in this case, I love the city of San Francisco, and I think the late 60s was a fascinating period of time. So it's an amazing backdrop. I'm more interested in the victims, and I'm more interested in just providing a forum so that people one day might figure out who did it to them, who killed them, who committed these crimes, and then, potentially justice can be served. But no, I don't focus on what he did.
Okay.
I focus on what can be done.
Now, just to be clear, to clear up that quote I was thinking of, it was from the Vallejo Times Herald, and they begin this article by saying, Tom Voigt, the man admittedly obsessed with Zodiac since childhood. Is that a true statement, that you're obsessed?
I don't consider it to be an obsession. I think it's I have a strong interest in the
okay.
case. It's mysteries in general. So if I get, it's like a buzzword. Every time a reporter contacts me, they want to talk about, if I'm obsessed or not. And I'm like, who cares? I don't want to be the subject of this. It's like the reason I do interviews is to draw attention to the case.
Understand.
And so if people want to think I'm obsessed, that's fine. Just read the material. If you have something to contribute, contribute. But who cares if I'm obsessed or not,
And how about the film? And I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm running out of time. But how about the film, good or bad?
Oh, I'd recommend it. I had to turn away, during the crime, the actual murders, especially the one at the lake.
It just looks terrible. I just that kind of suffering is just so upsetting to watch for entertainment.
Yeah, well, I didn't watch it for entertainment. I pretty much watched it because I had to, because otherwise, you know, I mean, that's what I was getting. I mean, I wanted to see it, but I didn't want to see the murders. Again, I turned away. I was staring at the wall during the whole period of any time I knew, you know, there was going to be a violence scene. I turned away. You know, it's a David Fincher movie, and he's known for things like that. And obviously, I think it's probably good to show people what the Zodiac did. I don't think if you're going to make a movie about this, you have to show the fact that he killed people. And it made me mad. I mean, it's the first time I've been mad in a long time. You know, since I first started researching the case. Since then, I think I've gotten used to what he did, but when I saw it on film, it really made me mad, and I think that's a good thing. It might motivate somebody that has information to finally come forward. But again, it is a movie, and those scenes are, you know, I couldn't watch the actual murder scenes.
Well, Tom, thanks so much for your time, and when you come to town, I'll send you an email. Could you just keep me sort of abreast of what's happening?
Yeah, please send me Sue's name again, would you?
Oh, yeah, I will. I'll do that right when I get off the air. Okay. So, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, you bet. That's Tom Voigt. He is the webmaster of ZodiacKiller.com, and he believes that a recently found 1990 Christmas card, which was postmarked from Eureka, is in fact authentic. And he lives up in Portland, Oregon, but he is returning to Eureka to chase this down a little further.